Most people, when they look at Job, they automatically think, as soon as they hear the word, turn your Bibles to Job, that it's going to be a sermon preached on just enduring, which we could. We've had a lot of different things that have happened in this past year in our church that we've had to endure, that we've had to overcome. Difficulties that have come up, changes in our lives. If we go row by row, it's amazing how much our life has changed in the past year. We've got the Browns that took off and abandoned us and left. Life completely changed from what it was a year ago. Completely different. Look over here and you have Lauren and Tucker. Completely different than a year ago. It's for a good thing, of course. We got a baby. You know, and you keep looking back and forth across the rows. Ortez's, the transitions that's going on in the ministry. The Crabtree's new baby. The Shears, all the difficulties. The Browns. I tell you, if there's one person that is praying for Pastor Shear to get home on time, it's Stephanie Holloman. She said to me while we were on the bus a couple weeks ago, preacher, better make it home on time. Because he gets home on Tuesday and she's getting married on Friday. That's cutting it close. Before he left, he said, just to make sure if something happens, here's my sermon, here's all the notes, here's the marriage license, have fun. And I laughed. I said, you better be here. I know she wants her pastor to marry her. And completely different than what a year ago was. Life has changed. And in our lives, we're always going to have different things that come up. Life changes on us. And, of course, as Job's life changed on him. But every single one of us faced that. But I don't want to talk about enduring afflictions or heartaches or change or anything like that. I think we've had quite a bit of that lately. And I think that's good for us to hear that. A question I have for you is, does God brag on you? Does God brag on you? When here in this passage of Scripture, and we're all very familiar with Job, what happened, the loss and everything. But prior to that happening, the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and from in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. The moment that God heard Satan say, oh, I was just walking around, I was down on earth, wreaking havoc, causing as much problem as I can. The very next thing, God says, have you considered or have you seen my servant Job? Let me tell you a little bit about Job. And God sat there for a few minutes and talked about how great of a Christian Job was. He was bragging on him. Does God brag on you? Or is it if a situation like this came up and your name got mentioned, he says, we're still working on that one. That's a work in progress. Well, that one, I had a lot of potential for that individual. I had a lot of good plans, a lot of great things lined up for him. But I just don't think it's going to work out that way. Or does he say, hey, hast thou considered my servant? Did you see what they're doing? Do you see how they're responding to different things that have come up in their lives? Or is when your name mentioned, he kind of has to get a little timid and hold back a little bit? I hope that I never have to embarrass God. That God can say, hey, with full assurance, have you seen my servant? Not because I want any notoriety, but I don't want to bring shame to the name of God. I don't care about myself, but I do care about God. I wouldn't want anything to happen that I would bring shame to Him. Being that I'm a Christian, I carry His name. Job here had a couple attributes that God even talked about. The first attribute that I want to look at is that Job feared God. He was perfect and upright, one that feared God. Fearing God does not mean that he's scared of Him. Fearing God does not mean that there's a trembling when you mention His name. That's not that type of fear. God does not want you to be scared of Him. If you're scared of God, it's probably because you're not doing the things that you're supposed to be doing. God does not want that type of a relationship. When you fear God, it means there's a respect that goes towards it. I fear my dad. I love him. I respect him. I'm not scared of him, but I don't want to hurt his name. I remember as a kid, my dad would tell us, son, you are a commander. You carry my name. Don't mess it up. Some people, they get to the point in their lives, teenagers and men, they think, boy, there comes a time where they say, yeah, I think I could take my dad. I think I could whoop him if I needed to. I've never had that. I still think he'd be able to take me. But I'm not afraid of him, but there's a fear that goes out that says, you know what, I don't want to hurt him. But as a teenager, I would sit there and I'd think, boy, what if my dad found out? What would happen? Would this break his heart? I start thinking about that. That's a fear. That's fearing my dad. That's how we should be for God. But most of the time, people become flippant with God. It becomes a, well, if I do something wrong, it's all right. God's a loving God. And he's just going to forgive me about it, so it's okay to do it. It doesn't matter. I'll do what I want, and then I'll get right later. So I can enjoy the pleasures of sin, and then still get right with God. There's no fear in that. There's no thought process that goes into that thinking, boy, what if I ruin God's name? If we're doing our job, people in our community should know we're Christians. They should know. I was talking in Sunday school this morning. My wife had a doctor's appointment, and she was talking to her doctor, and she said, God is in control, and our faith is in God. I just sat back, and I just listened. I thought, boy, this is great. I'm so excited that she was able to sit there talking to her doctor and sit there and let her know that our faith is in God. And no matter what came up, she said, I'm just going to continue to trust in God and know that He knows best. She's got a testimony in that hospital room, in that area that where she goes to see her doctor. They know. Every time we go in there, she's mentioning something about it. And people in our communities know if we're Christians or not. Your neighbors are watching to see, well, they're going to go to church today, or are they staying home? It's pretty obvious when you get dressed up, and every single Sunday you're going with your Bible, kids get loaded up. They can tell. And they watch, and they see. And they're trying to study us and understand us, and they know that we're Christians. And we need to remind ourselves that we need to have a fear of God because other people are watching. And if we do anything, we bring shame to the name of Christ. Can you imagine if your kid did something so terrible that it brought shame to your name. The whole story with different shootings and things like that that happened, names that go down in infamy, people like Ted Kaczynski. Could you imagine if you had the same last name? Something like that. Everywhere you would go, people would say, are you related to him? I remember when I went down to California, and people would ask us, hey, did you ever run into him because he was caught in Montana? There was a familiarity that between that news and the area that we were from. Could you imagine if you carried the same name? People would look at you and they'd hear that name and they'd kind of get a little nervous, a little intimidated. Ooh, better watch out for them. They're related to Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber. But yet, we don't think about that when we sin and we carry the name of Christ. We don't think about when we go and we do something and we make a mistake that other people are watching us and they know that we're Christians and we're bringing down the name of Christ because we have no fear of God. He was a perfect and upright man, one that feared God. Secondly, he eschewed evil. To eschew evil means to avoid, shun, abstain from, or kept from. It's also, terminology can be that you habitually avoid it. You make it a habit to avoid anything that pertains to sin. There's a story, of course, with the person that sitting there walking in the path and there's a snake up on the road and it's dead. And as soon as they see that snake, what are they going to do? Not even going to walk up close to it. Not even going to approach it. For me, I hate snakes so much. My wife will ask, hey, do you want to go into the pet store? I'll say, do they have snakes in there? Yeah, they're in their cages. That's right, I'll just stay right here. You go ahead and take the boys right in. I'd rather not. We go to the fair, and they have their big reptile place in the fair, and she'll say, let's go in there. And I say, you go right on ahead. I'll be standing right here when you get back out. Because I can't stand snakes. Spiders, I don't care. When we were down in Dominican Republic, they had a big old tarantula that one of the kids caught and put it in a box, and one of the guys took it and let it crawl up his leg, and I stood pretty close to it, watching it and everything. It didn't bother me one bit. God dropped it off his arm, and it fell to the ground, and it started to scamper, and I just watched it. No big deal. But you bring even a gardener snake around, no thank you. You keep that at a distance. My friend, and when we were in elementary school, his dad had a rattler snake that was at his work site, and he cut the head off, and he gave the rest of the snake to his son. And he brought it over, and he said, hey, check this out. I got a rattlesnake here, and, it's dead. And I looked at it, and the head was missing. You could see everything. And he said, feel it. And I said, no thanks. It was dead completely. Had no head. Completely harmless. No thanks. Here, come look at it. Nope, you just keep it right there. I can't stand snakes. I hate them. I will go out of my way to not go by them. That's what it means to eschew. That's what Job did towards sin. He'd drive down, and if he knew there was something down the road that would tempt him, he wouldn't drive that way. Billboards up on the road, and if he knew it was there, he'd find a different way, even if it took him a few more minutes to get to his destination and had to make a detour. He detoured around sin because he was so cautious. He feared God so much that he did not want to bring shame to the name of Christ that he said, I'm going to avoid it as much as I can. I'm going to stay away from it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. We think of the verse, abstain from all appearance of evil. And you think, well, you know, that means that you shouldn't be around certain stuff that may look bad. But how far will you take that? Some people say, well, you know, I've just done some of the basic stuff. But sin is sin. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Every single one of them. Regardless of what it is or how harmless it may seem to you, because if you're around that, even if it's not sin, but it has the appearance of sin, it still can bring shame to the name of Christ. Could you imagine if you're sitting and listening to a type of music and people pull up beside you and they hear it from this morning we're going to On the Border. Isn't it amazing how on Mother's Day you always go out to eat and on Father's Day everybody has to barbecue? Mom gets it completely off by going to a restaurant, waited on everything. Father's Day's time and here's your meat, go throw it on the grill. Get to work. We're driving On the Border so we can have some lunch with my mom and my dear sweet wife. Best two mothers in the whole wide world. And we're driving down on River Road and this car pulls up next to us and they had their music and it was blaring. And Charlene went the windows down and we started to roll them up so the kids didn't have to hear it. And Marcus says, that's rock and roll music. We don't listen to that. And he heard it. He had no clue who it was or anything. He heard the type of music that it was, and he said, that's rock and roll music. We don't listen to it. That's bad. And he rolled up the window, and then he kept on going. At 4 years old, the appearance of evil. Because we can listen to certain types of music that kind of feeds it, but it has that appearance. How terrible would it be if we were driving on River Road and passed your car and he heard that noise and said, that's rock and roll music. We don't listen to it. That's wrong. And glance over and see your car. The appearance of it. Because when we carry the name of Christ, regardless where we go, people know it, and they associate the two. There's a standard that's supposed to be held with the name of Christ. The standard is, it was like a flag that you carried, and it was a top honor for any soldier to carry the colors. And they would go forward, and where the standard was in battle, that's where everybody would stay at. When the standard would retreat, then everybody else would retreat as well, and they'd always stay with the colors. There was a battle that was going on, and a man that was holding the colors, he ran forward into battle, and he was fighting, and the men cried out, and he said, hey, bring the standard back to the men. And the standard bearer turned around and he said, no, bring the men to the standard. Raise the standard up a little bit. Have a challenge in your life that you're going to abstain from all appearance of evil, eschewing it, staying away from it habitually, understanding what may bring down the name of Christ, and fearing God so much that you won't risk tarnishing His name. Lastly, Job chapter 42, verse 10. The Bible says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Job, number one, fears God. Because of that fear, avoids sin. Avoids even the appearance of it. And then gets on his knees. In the midst of all of his troubles, the greatest man in the East had all the substance that he could desire. all the possessions, everything at his fingertips, servants that can do everything for him. He was the richest man in the entire world. He's like our Bill Gates. They say Bill Gates is so rich that if he dropped a $100 bill, it's not worth his time to bend over and pick it up. Because in the amount of time it takes him to pick up a $100 bill, he's already made another one. Can you imagine that? The wealth. Job was the richest man in the entire world. And in a matter of 30 seconds, you read that passage of Scripture where he lost everything. The Bible was telling about the servants that would come and would tell him the tragedy that would happen. And right at the end of the verse, it would say, and while he was yet speaking, while he was sitting there telling Job about the catastrophe that just happened, about his camels and about his sheep, somebody else was running in at the exact same time saying the same thing. While he was yet speaking, another servant came in, and then he finds out about his children. 7 sons, 3 daughters died. In a matter of 30 to 45 seconds, maybe a minute, Job finds out that he goes from the richest man in the world to absolutely nothing. He doesn't have anything. Nothing to his name. No animals. And that's what provided their income. Lost it all. His children, gone. Can you imagine the turmoil of having to bury your kids? And not just one, all of them at the same time. The grief that he must have taken on. I couldn't imagine losing one son, let alone both. All in a split second, gone. And Job here in chapter 42, even though he's got all these difficulties going on, his health is now a mess, boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He's sitting on the ashes with broken pottery, scraping the boils to ease his pain. He is not in a very good position. Health-wise, terrible. Emotionally, a mess. Poor. And yet he says, my friends need my prayer. I need to get on my knees. Take my eyes off of my problems and turn it down to theirs. And intercede on their behalf to God. Yeah, I may have just lost everything. My wife is over here telling me to curse God and die, so I have no support. My friends are telling me that I've made God mad and I've done something wrong. My kids are dead. But I've got some friends that I know they need my prayer. I need to go to them to God on their behalf. I'm not important anymore. I think he always prayed for them. It was a habit for him. He said, I'm not going to be concerned about me. I'm going to look towards others. In our troubles and different things that go on in our lives, the number one thing that can help us get through those is taking your attention off of what's happened to you and turn it towards what's happened to somebody else and pray for them. God was sitting up in heaven. Hast thou considered my servant Job? Perfect and upright man. One that feared God and escheweth evil. He had an integrity. He followed after God even in the midst of all his adversities, he still stayed faithful, and he still turned his attention towards others instead of just focusing on his own problems. Sure, it would have been easy for him to do. Sure, it would have been easy to sit down and mope and say, boy, life is tough. I've never known anybody go through the things that I've gone through. Boy, I don't understand these things. God's never told me what's going on. It makes no sense. Woe is me. Job got to a point where he said, I may have got a lot of difficulties. My health may not be the best thing, but I'm still going to go to God. There was a lady that was at a college, found out that she had cancer. Cancer was so bad that she was hospitalized in pain and turmoil. She felt useless because she couldn't go out, she couldn't go soul winning, she couldn't go to church. She couldn't get around other people because of the cancer and the chemo and different things like that. The immune system dropped so low, couldn't risk infections or catching anything. Completely cut off from everybody else. She said, you know what I can do? I still can pray. She became the greatest prayer warrior that college ever had. Went to God for every single student, every single church member, and lifted them up. When she passed away, there was a huge number of people that gathered around. They knew she prayed for them. Even though they couldn't get around her and they couldn't encourage her like they wanted to, she knew that she still could do something for God. Even though other people may have looked at that and said, well, there's nothing I can do. She said, I still can pray. I can pray for others. Even though I've got cancer, I'm going to die. I'm going to see Jesus. But until that happens, my focus isn't going to be on me. It's going to be on others. Can God brag on you like he did Job? More than once he didn't. When Satan came back, he said, hey, hast thou considered my servant Job? A perfect and upright man, one that escheweth evil, and still holds fast his integrity, even though thou movest me against him. Bragging on Job. Or does he have to drop his head a little bit? Because he knows, well, we're still working on that one. Still have hope. Maybe they'll catch on. Maybe they'll realize that this isn't just a game. We don't just play church and go home and do our own thing. This is real. Or does God say, that's right, this is my servant here. And I'm proud of it. Look at the things that he's doing. Fearing me. Staying away from evil. Praying for others. That's my servant. That's the person I'd gladly embrace and brag about. I hope that God can brag on Heritage Baptist Church. I hope he could charge our church and say, that's my church that has my stamp of approval because they are doing the things that I would have them to. Can God brag on you? Dear Lord, I pray that you'd be with us tonight. Lord, just a simple, simple sermon. But God, I pray that we would take the truths that Job found and apply them to our lives. Help us, Lord, to fear you, avoid evil. Help us to pray and lift up others. Lord, help us that we could not embarrass you or shame your name. Help us walk around and understand that we carry your name, and we want you to be happy with our actions. Their heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to ask everybody to stand to their feet. The altar's going to be open as the organ plays. Maybe God's working on your heart. Can God brag on you? Can God look out and see your, hear your name and say, that's my servant? I'm not afraid that they're a Christian. Or does he have to get all quiet? Well, can't do much with them. They're not really willing. I hope one day that they can make it as a Christian. Maybe today you've never had that moment where you trusted Christ as your Savior. Get that settled today. Do you fear God? Is it a big thing to you if you bring shame to Him? Or do you not care? Are you so hardened that it doesn't bother you one bit? You avoid sin, try your best not to fall into it, or do you just not care? God was able to brag on Job. Can He do the same for you?